Hello, everyone, and thank you for giving us 10 minutes of your time. My name is Carl DeZeus. The world's largest economy is our first topic this Tuesday. The U.S. government recently reported that 140,000 jobs were lost in the month of December. For perspective, the economy gained 654,000 jobs in October and 336,000 in November. And economists had expected that 50,000 jobs would have been added last month. But the government says an increase in coronavirus cases and the efforts to contain the pandemic, which include restrictions on restaurants and bars, contributed to the job losses. Not every industry took a hit. While the leisure and hospitality industry has been worst affected, the retail industry added jobs last month, so the losses weren't spread evenly. As far as the unemployment rate goes, this is the percentage of American workers who don't have a job. The government says it stayed at 6.7% from November to December. A strong economy benefits from a lower unemployment rate. America's got close to 15% in April when many businesses were shut down. But it had been improving since then, getting lower every month until December. So is there any good news in this? Well, some analysts believe that economic stimulus packages passed by the Trump administration and expected from the Biden administration will help, though they do increase the national debt. And if America's health situation improves with new coronavirus treatments or vaccines, economists expect this spring and summer to be good for the jobs picture. 10-second trivia. The most recent amendment to the U.S. Constitution deals with what topic? Voting age, presidential succession, lawmakers' pay, or poll taxes? The 27th Amendment, which delays congressional pay raises until after the next election, was ratified in 1992. But it's an amendment ratified in 1967 that's our next subject today. For years, political opponents of U.S. President Donald Trump have been discussing the 25th Amendment, and their calls have grown louder in the wake of the violence carried out by some of President Trump's supporters at the U.S. Capitol building last week. Section 1 of the 25th Amendment begins simply with the words, "In case of the removal of the president from office, or of his death or resignation, the vice president shall become president." But CNN's John Avlon explains how the amendment and the debate around it get a lot more complicated from there.
The text is relatively recent, born right after John F. Kennedy died, thought up by members of administration, including his brother Bobby, who shuddered to think what might have happened had the president been only incapacitated in Dallas. In fact, as recently as 1965, this nation had no real plan for what to do if a president couldn't discharge his duties. The issue first came up way back in 1841, when William Henry Harrison died just a month after taking office. No one really knew what to call Vice President John Tyler. Critics simply called him Your Accidency. 4 decades later, President James Garfield was shot and lingered incapacitated for more than 2 months. Afraid of causing a constitutional crisis, Vice President Chester A. Arthur, of the really great Steinburns, avoided doing anything presidential and the government ground to a halt. In 1919, President Woodrow Wilson had a stroke, and his second wife, Edith, essentially ran the country for 18 months. By that point, the 25th Amendment was long overdue, but it took the Kennedy assassination to get it written. And it didn't get used by a president for another 2 decades when President Reagan had a 1985 surgery, but it got its first real test 2 years later. That's when incoming Reagan Chief of Staff Howard Baker was urged to consider it after reports that Reagan was in mental decline. Baker agreed to observe the president for deficiencies, and when he didn't find any, the 25th Amendment was never mentioned again in the Reagan White House. It's been invoked just twice more, both by George W. Bush for colonoscopies, and that's really been it. So the question we're confronting today is whether the 25th Amendment could be used to remove a president who some feel is, quote, detrimental to the health of our republic. Remember, the amendment was written primarily to address physical incapacity, but it does include a section never used on removing a president deemed unfit. And that section reads like a Rube Goldberg machine. Basically, it goes like this. The vice president, along with the majority of the cabinet, can send a letter to the president pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House. And then as soon as that letter is received, bam, the president is out. The vice president becomes the acting president. But not so fast. The president can then write his own letter and send it back to Congress, saying he's feeling perfectly fine, after which the vice president and a majority of the cabinet still want him gone, they have to send another letter. Now, once that happens, within 3 weeks, two-thirds of Congress must vote to declare the president unfit. Otherwise, he becomes president again, and the VP goes back to his old job, but presumably not for long.
Democrats in the House of Representatives have been pushing for Vice President Mike Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment against President Trump. Analysts say it's unlikely that either the vice president or the president's cabinet will support that move. But Monday, House Democrats also introduced an article of impeachment that formally charges President Trump with, quote, incitement of insurrection. It concerns the Capitol riots, and the House plans to vote on the charge later this week. Republicans in the chamber have urged Democrats not to move forward concerning impeachment, saying it would further divide the country at a time when President Trump and President-elect Joe Biden are calling for unity. Animals on the job. The U.S. government defines a service dog as an animal that's individually trained to do work or perform tasks for a person with a disability. The process of raising and training one of these dogs is complex and costs roughly $25,000. But thanks to some generous volunteers in Northern California, part of some service dog's transportation comes free.
There's a lot of stuff unsettled even today with COVID and everything else going on in the world. And so it's really nice to be able to use our aircraft to make lives better for people. My name is Josh Hochberg, and I live in Sonoma County, California, Santa Rosa, and I own a company called Sonoma Jet Center. Canine Companions for Independence is an awesome local organization. Actually, it's a national organization headquartered in Santa Rosa, California. Canine Companions raises highly trained service puppies that can do, or service dogs that can help people lead independent lives. Back when COVID started, they no longer could use the airlines, and so they started relying on private aircraft to take the dogs where they needed to go. And so some friends of mine and I volunteered. All the travel, all the flights, all the fuel is all donated by us volunteered to transport the dogs all around the country.
A private pilot flew 14 puppies from California all the way to Colorado just for us. Well, I'm Rachel, and I went to Texas Tech University, and that's where I found out about Canine Companions for Independence. And I've been on the wait list for about 8 months for this little puppy, Blossom. I'll have her for about 14 to 16 months, and we'll just train her and give her basic obedience and house manners and socialization. And then she goes to professional training for 6 months. And then hopefully she'll be placed as a service dog.
They've all toileted. They get trained to do all sorts of specialized tasks. Say somebody has trouble opening doors. The dogs can be trained to open the doors for the people. So what the dogs really do is they help people to lead independent lives.
Now that's a report that's got tongues and tails wagging. Taking Flight turns beagles into eagles, Airedales into airmail. It gives new facets to bassets, transportation to Transylvanians. It basically brings a whole Newfoundland of possibilities, turning every terrier into a sky terrier and every breed into a working one. That's about all the puns I could work up for today's show. At youtube.com/CNN10, we heard from Minnehik Waskayagan High School. It is located in Saskatchewan, Canada, and it's great to have you watching. For CNN 10, I'm Carl Azus.